Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
My goodness. Welcome home.
Thank you.
Yeah, we missed you.
I miss you too.
Let's do introductions around.
Wendy, Van.
Oh, Ross.
Nico.
Don. Jeffrey.
Marie. Judy.
Yeah.
So we're chugging along in here. We didn't quite finish the chapter. Last Tuesday, we stopped at the present moment part of it, which is this moment, of course. It's not any other moment, it's just this moment. But it's the only reality. That's the point he's making. We can think about everything that happened before and everything is going to happen and make up a million stories about all of it, but the only reality is just what's happening right now. It's a very peculiar position to be in, really. We have to project into the future and we have to remember the past, and we do. But if we remember that they're all provisional and they're all imaginary, we know now from studying the brain that the memories that we carry with us are not accurate at all. We keep changing our memories as we continue in our life. So if we are depending on our memories of what happened back then, it's not true. So it puts us in a kind of bind if we get too carried away with the past or the future. We have to honor them. We have to use our brains in order to know how to get from here to there, and we have to remember the people that we knew and loved long ago. We don't want to forget the things that were important to us, but we have to remember that Aunt Clara, in my memory, was a certain kind of person, but I knew her 45 years ago, and I'm not sure I remember Aunt Clara in exactly the right way that I knew her back then, in the reality of the moment. We just can't depend on that memory. So it gives us a little space not to carry resentments, much less anger, about what happened before. If we remember that it never really happened, we don't know how it happened. We just made up a story about it. And if we keep carrying it around, it just becomes a burden. And the future becomes a burden also. If we are so intent on getting from here to there, no matter what, and have all kinds of imaginary ideas about what's going to happen, we're just waiting for disappointment, because we don't know. And of course, we do have to project into the future, but it's very well to remember that we really don't know. And if we get in a bind about something that's going to happen, and we're nervous about it, we have to take the SAT again or something horrible like that. It's just imaginary, the fear. The only reality is this one right here. How sweet it is right here, right now. So he says we think of the present moment as having some length of time. So time is, it's about time. We place it in the middle of our own story. This is Okamura saying, a story in which we are the hero or the heroine. So of course that's the best part of it, that we polish up the story and make it all about us and how great we are. I often talk about the great me. Yes, yes. And that's setting us up for a lot of disappointment, because we know in our heart, we know that we're not that great and we never will be. And we don't even need to be. There's no necessity for being great. Not everybody knows that. He uses a seed as an explanation of how this gap works, that the seed is in a Dharma position of being a seed. And it has its own past and future. It has a potential for life. It came from somewhere. It fell from the oak tree. So you have the acorn. So it has a future. If it's going to manage to sprout, we don't know. But that it has that potential. And that is the gap. And it has... It actually negates its position in order to send down a root and send up a stalk. It turns into something else. It erases itself, you could say. And you could say we do that too. We were born and then we erased ourselves in order to be somebody else. I just saw that. I saw Sage, Ying's little baby, and I hadn't seen her for a while, and she was a lap child. She was about 8 months old or so, and so she sat in everybody's lap, and she was adorable, absolutely adorable. Roly-poly little kid. And this week, she was crawling all over my floor. She was going like a bat out of hell. She was amazing. And she wasn't the same person anymore. She had actually negated that little lap person and would never be that one again. It was so interesting. And we, as we proceed through our life, proceed like the seed, step by step by step. And we don't even notice it. We think we're the same. But if we really look at it, of course we're not the same at all. On Facebook, people were showing pictures of themselves with their dad this morning when I looked. And they were little kids, you know, of grown-ups that I know now, with their daddy. And of course they're not like that anymore. So, oh, yes. Oh, you were going to ask some. Okay. Everything, he says, has this life force which negates itself and changes into something else. This is the meaning of the statement that everything is empty of permanent self-nature. It just keeps morphing, morphing and morphing. Then it goes on to talk about the first four lines of the Gento koan. He keeps coming back to that because that's the essence of it, really. And he explains it by saying, the first sentence I should read the first sentence. I should read them all. When all dharmas are the Buddha Dharma, there is delusion and realization, practice, life and death, Buddhas and living beings. That's life. And he says that that's, says we're deluded, that Buddha is in, we're walking in the world with Buddha, with the Buddha Dharma, in ordinary life. But when the 10,000 dharmas are without a fixed self, there is no delusion and no realization, no Buddhas and no living beings, no birth and no death. We have only the moment. The rest is delusion. That's what he's saying. So the third one is, since the Buddha way by nature goes beyond the dichotomy of abundance and deficiency, there is arising and perishing, delusion and realization, living beings and Buddhas. We only practice in the present, whether we're deluded or not. We're practicing in the ordinary life in an ordinary way, although we have a very big hope for something better and bigger. Therefore, he says, flowers fall even though we love them. Weeds grow even though we dislike them. Conveying oneself toward all things to carry out practice enlightenment is delusion. All things coming and carrying out practice enlightenment through the self is realization. Those who greatly realize illusion are Buddhas. Those who are greatly deluded in realization are living beings. Furthermore, there are those who attain realization beyond realization, and those who are deluded within delusion. He goes back to life and death. It's a mistake to think that life turns into death. Life is a position in one time, and death is a position in one time. In death, there is nothing other than death. Therefore, when life comes, just live. And when death comes, just die. Neither avoid them nor desire them. This is Dogen speaking. And he has three poems by Uchiyama Roshi that he wrote in the end of his life. Life and death, he says. Water isn't formed by being ladled into a bucket. Simply, the water of the whole universe has been ladled into a bucket. The water does not disappear because it has been scattered over the ground. It is only that the water of the whole universe has been emptied into the whole universe. Life is not born because a person is born. The life of the whole universe has been ladled into the hardened idea called I. Life does not disappear because a person dies. Simply, the life of the whole universe has been poured out of this hardened idea of I back into the universe. Beautiful. So I will read this next thing. The next one is about the moon and the water. And we don't have anywhere near the time to do all of it, but I'm going to read it to you and talk a little bit about it. When a person attains realization, it is like the moon's reflection in water. The moon never becomes wet. The water is never disturbed. Although the moon is a vast and great light, it is reflected in a drop of water. The whole moon and even the whole sky are reflected in a drop of dew on a blade of grass. Realization does not destroy the person, as the moon does not make a hole in the water. The person does not obstruct realization, as a drop of dew does not obstruct the moon in the sky. The depth is the same as the height. To investigate the significance of the length and brevity of time, we should consider whether the water is great or small, and understand the size of the moon in the sky. So it's about realization. And Okamura says we can't really understand what he meant because there are three different Chinese words meaning realization, which adds a little interest to the whole thing. It's awakening is one translation of one word. There are three different words for it. Awakening, opposed to dreaming, and that's what we hear about Buddha when they asked who he was, and he said, "I'm awake. I'm not an angel or a saint or any of those things. I'm just awake." So awakening is one of the words. In tune, opposing to being lost, to being altogether, realizing where to go, being altogether in sync with oneself, you could say. And the last one is verification coming from direct experience. That's how we know. It's knowing because we have experienced it. That to me is the definition of Zen. When you try to read about Zen and try to explain it, you can't, because it has to be experienced before it can be understood. It also means Satori, which we think of as the kinds of enlightenment that Rinzai practice is focused on. And their version of Satori is many, many different insightful experiences, many different flashes of insight and experience and also awakening. So a Rinzai teacher, Hakuin, talked about it as you will have one or two large awakenings or large enlightenments, but there will be many small ones. So don't cling to the large ones that you had. Forget about them and be free to experience whatever comes next. Very important advice. And we tend to think, oh, we had this experience, so now it makes us kind of magnificent in a certain way, or special or but that isn't it. It's in fact somebody said the whole secret is to always think not yet. Not yet. However far you think you've come, not yet. We're not there yet. So I think I'll stop there. The moon and water as emptiness and as the body will be for next Tuesday. Questions? Comments?
Yes. So going back to the present moment, what if you don't really want to be where you are, like in a dentist's chair in Yemen or someplace? So can you, if you project to be someplace else, or you think of the past or the future, a more pleasant place, are you still practicing in the moment?
If you're in a horrible place where your
yes.
bombs are falling?
Yes.
I would say you have to be there. I know my husband had an experience where he, as a boy, he and his cousin were going to school and the bombs started falling in Arnhem in the Second World War. And they jumped into a ditch and just huddled there. And my husband had been raised as a Christian Scientist. So he was in that ditch praying his head off, hoping he wasn't going to, praying that he wasn't going to get killed. And his cousin started laughing at him and saying, "You stupid jerk, you think God can hear you? It's, you know, it's, those bombs will hit us if they will, and this is, it's useless." So it was a cruel and horrible thing, and it had a big effect on my husband. It was too bad, actually. But I think you really have to be there with the bombs when they're falling. And then prepare to get out as fast as you can to take care of yourself. And that's what the people have done as best they can, though it's really hard. I mean, they take off long lines of people walking through the desert. But I don't think making up stories is helpful. It's helpful when you're going to sleep, maybe, but not even then. Nico?
How about what you were just saying? If you're in there in the present moment and preparing to get out, that those two things seem to be somewhat in at least partial conflict with each other, because to prepare to get out is to anticipate, is to not be, I mean, you can be preparing in that moment to get out, but that's not the same moment that you were just in there. So it's, there has to be some margin where the present moment can spread backwards and forwards into some sense of context. Otherwise you're just, you might as well be just like
that's right, you can't do
like
it.
A motion detector.
You just can't do it.
On.
You can't do and it be in the present moment actually.
Right. It's
because
not possible.
It's not possible. So you have to surrender to your ignorance that you can't actually be in this moment, because by that time it's gone. It's gone. And we'll never catch up. Even though we try, we can't. So the point is to be as present as we can.
So how wide, let's say, would you say the gap is between the hypothetical present moment, which we can't be in, like this log we're trying to, and we're falling this way, we're falling, at what point are we just totally out of it, and we're simply swimming in the lake, as opposed to, you know, in some kind of a rough, average consensus sense of more or less nowishness.
Right, I know what you mean, but there isn't any we. So that's the truth of it. We assume ourselves and assume others, and then create this world of us, and then call it the present moment. But actually, in reality, there isn't even. It's all happening.
It's all happening. It's all happening.
As it is.
Yeah.
It's very mysterious.
Kind of, yeah.
Thank you. Marie, you had something?
I was just going to follow on to what Wendy said about I think there's sometimes I've heard this said that you can't face the present moment, or you can't face a memory, and so you have to realize that there's a certain dosage that you can take, and that you have to allow yourself just to take that dosage, and then, you know, maybe you need an escape or something because it's a traumatic experience.
Well, that's true. And in terms of trauma, that's very true. Although most therapies have a lot of facing it involved, but it is a slow process.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But that's what helps. The thing that really does help is facing it. Acknowledging it and knowing that something happened that you're carrying. So it's something in you, really. It's not something out there.
Well, I was wondering if part of what we're talking about in terms of present moment and time is, like, for example, I've been trying to clean up my, you know, take care of some things in my house, and I would, like, if I was cutting some boxes up so I could put them in the recycle and I cut my hand, it's sort of like I'm not paying attention. So I'm not actually there. Well, you know, I mean, I'm still there, but, and I was realizing that in some ways I can do something, and the goal is just to get it done, and I'm not, in a way, I'm just not actually engaged in what's there. It's just like I'm, you know, say, I'm just trying to get it done.
Yeah.
And so, if I'm, like, another example would be when I fixed one of the lights, it's like I'm using my understanding, and I'm cutting something, and I'm reading the, you know, looking at the diagram, and so there's context and knowledge and all of that, but I'm much more, I'm sort of engaged in something, and so it seems like somewhere in that there's at least part of what we're talking about, of being more or less present to what you're actually doing.
Yeah, it's being awake.
Yeah, and,
yeah.
That in the case of, like, with a light, you're, you know, there's a lot, there's knowledge from the past, and, you know, it's like, before I plug it in, I'm gonna, you know, make sure I'm not, you know, I'm anticipating not getting electrocuted. So there is a certain amount of thinking involved, but it's more functional thinking rather than
Yes. Yes.
So, I mean, it seems like that, I still feel like what you're saying, there's still sort of a koan, but it seems like something around trying to be more engaged in what you're actually doing.
Yes, and losing yourself in it.
Yeah.
Not being conscious of something else or yourself, but just giving your whole self to what you're doing.
Yeah.
That's what being present really is just forgetting yourself and being so you don't even know what you are anymore. It doesn't matter. You just get done what you're there to do.
Right.
Yeah.
So in practice instructions, a lot of times, or some schools, they say that you have to witness. But there's experience and there's a witnessing. And then, so this is already, like, who is it that witnesses? As soon as you know that you're witnessing, the I comes back in.
Yes.
But when you lose yourself in this,
yes,
there's no sense of I. It's like a child who's playing. So I wonder if in the awakening experience, if the self realizes that they're awake, if that's just a fabrication. Can somebody who's enlightened really know that they're enlightened in that sense? So maybe I'm making it too convoluted, but as soon as somebody knows,
yes,
who's that person then?
Yes, right. So
in some schools, they say it's awareness, but then awareness becomes this permanent thing.
No,
outside.
No. They say the witness is the last holdout before enlightenment. So, in Zen, we don't even talk about enlightenment very much, and people don't ever claim that they are enlightened.
So,
you know, there are many experiences, but they come and go. And we're all having them, had them before we came to sit, otherwise we wouldn't be here.
I'm sorry, I just want to ask you a follow-up question. Because
yes,
a lot of times when you say forgive the self, take that literally. We all have had experiences where you're enjoying something and you completely forget. You could be watching a movie, as a matter of fact.
Yes.
And you forgot yourself.
Yes.
Is that limited?
That's, we have developed those ways of social experience, not quite knowing or not realizing that that's what they are. I think theater was the very first to practice that. The theatrical was offering people a way to forget themselves, to be carried into a story. And that we still do that for people. And you come out of the theater and you are enlightened in a way. You're changed. So, I mean, it's a small thing and it's not quite what we're talking about here, but it is in a way. So, no, I think it's a very awkward subject, really. There are some people who claim that they're enlightened and charge lots of money to practice with them. And and I think that's a big mistake. Yeah. Okay. It's time to stop. It's past time to stop. I'm sorry. Announcements?
We do have announcements. One of the things that I would like to ask all of you tonight to be
very precious song that here that meets. We have, we're encountering a change in the amount of the monies that are being asked when we sit. This doesn't affect our Tuesday night, which is a financial obligation we can meet. But our Saturdays, our half sits and our full sits, our friends, other friends, are asking for a very large increase. And so what I'm asking you to do is brainstorm amongst yourselves. Do you have any ideas about how we can meet on Saturdays? Because the possibility of us no longer being able to afford this facility is a reality. And so in the coming weeks, if there's something that comes up for you, as in, oh, I have an uncle who has a space in a warehouse, or, oh my goodness, my house is 5,400 square feet, and I can easily put you in my living room. I can put you in my closet, a walk-in closet. If any of you have any ideas of that ilk, please forward it to me or Wendy. I would really appreciate that. Thank you very much. That's my
announcement.
I have a more mundane announcement. We really appreciate people who help clean up afterwards and put things back in order. And I wanted to remind people that the Zen way is the way you do one thing. The way you do one thing is the way you do everything. And so that one thing includes how we put the chants back. So now we have rubber bands for the little chants that you'll find on the outside, and then we're using binder clips to put the chant cards back in. And if we do that tonight, then when we're setting up next Tuesday, it's much easier to find the materials, put them out, and it creates a more calm atmosphere for our setup person. Thank you.
Good idea. To our 1 minute sit.